Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Friday. Brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You just heard Sarah talk about the weather. Hunker down in the man cave. Which, by the way, women can also populate in heavy numbers. And make sure you're fully stocked from Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Go there tonight. Stock up. Lots of college football coming up. The NFL, Eagles, Packers. Monday night, Steelers and Titans as they play down to the opposition again. And you can go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury and get the best in beer. Imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks, Roastler peanuts every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles. That is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. A painful Friday for Kevin again, this time turning in the Kia Sorento to Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kev, on the turn-in.
My pain could be our listener's gain. Sorry, I couldn't pass that one up. It was just sitting out there. I went down the road anyway. The 2015 all-wheel drive Sorento LX available now at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. 0% for 75 months. And I was talking to the guys today. All you need is $347 a month. And all you have to put down as early as tomorrow is tax and tags down. Finance the rest at $347 a month. Enjoy that 0% financing. And you have yourself a 2015 all-wheel drive four-cylinder Sorento for $25,999. And that is available as of this very moment at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Remington Red, I might add.
Remington Red.
I don't know if I told you that before. Remington Red.
No, that really is it's another tidbit. Which means you have to get a new vehicle.
Yes. Yes. And that has already been done. That has already been done, and we'll be featuring it Monday.
Stars such as yourself cannot be left without a vehicle. Correct?
Yeah. I'm not commenting, thank you.
No problem. You don't have to comment.
This is a weird Friday night for me, by the way. It's kind of awkward feeling. I'm actually going home.
Maybe it's actually your wife that's having that awkward feeling.
I'll show up. She's like, what are you doing here? The season's over. Oh, great.
All right. Well. Number's 800-795-9565. If you'd like to jump in, love to hear from you. Love to hear from you.
We have Revson coming up this hour?
Not sure we can get the Rever at the moment.
I think I might be able to do that.
Oh, well, if you can do that, then that's great.
Matter of fact, I think I can actually take care of that and maybe Tony DeFazio as well. I'll make a couple of calls here. Give me a second.
This is where the producer in him comes through.
This is where I actually Wonderful. Do the job of producer.
Great job lining up the guests, by the way. Fabulous.
What's that?
I said fabulous job of lining up the guests.
I do as little as possible. I mean, I do whatever I can do.
Hey, by the way, Sealands Grove plays at Jersey Shore tonight, 94KX. We'll have it tonight with Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt. And Bucknell basketball opens tonight as well. It's on Eagle 107 with Doug Birdsong. Tonight, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, it'll be Penn State basketball, the Nittany Lions, and Morgan State at 7. We'll be on with the pregame show from Chesapeake Energy beginning at 6:30 this evening.
And Bucknell has the Red Foxes of Marist. And by the way, Rever on the line for you.
Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing very well. The Big Ten last week, it turned out it was a fabulous game, great atmosphere, Michigan State, Ohio State. Did the conference get enough national bump out of that, in your opinion?
Oh, man, I don't know. I kind of feel like time will tell. I mean, it's interesting now there are five Big Ten teams in this top 25 ranking, albeit, you know, some of them are lower than they feel like they should be. But, I mean, I do feel like to a certain extent maybe there people are coming around that there is some decent football played in this league. I do think that that was a very high-level game. I think you'd be hard-pressed to look at Ohio State's team and not say that's a really good team right now. I don't know. I think time will tell. I think we kind of need to see what happens here in the last few weeks and how the Big Ten is viewed in the rankings once kind of all the rest of the football that needs to be played is played, because there's still a lot of games. You know, none of this happens in a vacuum. There's still a lot of games that could impact those rankings either way.
Okay, we're watching the first ever four-team playoff coming up, but I found it very interesting this week in listening to Todd Graham of Arizona State, Brian Kelly of Notre Dame, and now you're hearing people saying, you know, four isn't enough. So even and having played the four yet, so
right.
How do you view it at this moment? Is four enough? Do you want to see it play out, or have you always been in favor of more?
I'm of the belief four is enough. I mean, I was not a BCS hater. I was in that rare group of people who felt like more often than not it got it right. Occasionally it got it somewhat egregiously wrong. But I love the regular season, Steve. I'm really, really passionate about it. And I do think that it is the most meaningful regular season left in sports. And so I think as you increase that number, you are going to dilute it somewhat. And I don't know what that place of where you dilute it is. And I know that is a somewhat unpopular belief. I get it. I know that people love to see these things resolve, you know, quote, on the field. To me, I don't know. Let's see what happens here. I mean, let's, as you say, it hasn't even happened yet. So let's just give it a few years before we throw the whole thing out and see where it takes us.
It's interesting. It used to be coaches ranked 3 through 5 complain. Now it's coaches that are ranked 5 through 12 that complain.
Right, and now it would be, you know, if then it would be 9 through 13, right?
Right.
I mean, it just, it, again, you'd have less beef if you were 9 than you have if you were 5. I mean, I get that. I understand all those arguments. Let's just kind of see where it goes. I mean, let's let it play out for a few years, see where it goes, and then if we do feel like there are certain conferences which aren't getting into it, you know, that are consistently being left out, I mean, that would obviously be a reason there'd be some objection. If we feel like we don't like the way the committee's deciding, I mean, there are always going to be people who are going to be unhappy with whatever system you come up with. I get that. You can't please everyone. But just give them a shot. Let's see what they come up with, and then we'll pick it apart.
Wisconsin plays Nebraska this weekend. Big game in the West. Give me a breakdown and a feel that you have for that matchup.
Well, I think in a lot of ways it just comes down to Amir Abdullah and how healthy he is. I've felt all year that when healthy, Nebraska is the best team in the West. Wisconsin is getting better. I mean, as his passing game has come along, I mean, they're a far different team than the one that, for instance, lost to Northwestern, right? They're a lot more confident in their passing game than they were then. But I still feel like Nebraska's the most complete team. They're good enough on defense, and I do think that they're more complete on offense. But, you know, the games at Camp Randall, I obviously Abdullah isn't 100%. I spoke with Bo Pelini yesterday, and I think he was very upfront in saying, look, he's practiced, but you just don't know what it's going to be when he takes a hit and when he tries to cut on it, and we'll just have to see. Knowing that, I think I kind of lean in Wisconsin's direction, but if Abdullah does come back and he is perfectly healthy, I do think Nebraska's the better team.
Obviously, all the time you hear stereotypes. The stereotype when East went West was that, look at all the teams in the East. here's a great Western matchup that should really buck that stereotype, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been interesting that there was kind of this preconceived notion that the East was going to be dramatically better than the West. And honestly, Steve, I think over time it may turn out that generally more often than not the East is better, because I believe fervently that Penn State's going to end up being really good under James Franklin. I think it's just a matter of time of getting a full roster, having a complement of offensive linemen. I mean, stuff like that is, it's virtually impossible to overcome it, as we've seen. I think Michigan's going to be better, too, because I just think they have too many built-in advantages not to be. But I also don't think that the West is going to be quite the pushover that people think it's going to be. And so the fact that Nebraska and Wisconsin are playing a high-profile game, that both of them are playing well, the fact that Minnesota has played well, I mean, look, there are programs on that side that you generally have one of them that isn't a powerhouse that's still playing pretty well. You know, whether it's Iowa, whether it's Northwestern, whether it's Illinois, all of those programs have kind of had their moment in the sun. And I think they'll kind of rotate through having that moment in the sun. And I think the West could end up being pretty good over the years. But on aggregate, I still think the East is going to more often than not be the better side.
Obviously, we're talking about some of the big games this weekend. You've watched Penn State play. I want to talk about the defensive side, because Jeff Nelson has put out some interesting numbers about how far they're holding teams below averages, below points. And historically here, the yards rushing per game, for example, is the lowest since the 86 National Championship team. In an offensive era, what do you think of the Penn State defense?
I think it's been great. I mean, I'm really, really impressed, because, look, it's just good, and I hate to even couch it in they're down players, but they are significantly down players. And so I think you can't overlook that. And so to be able to do that with all of the restrictions that have been placed on this program, I think is even that much more remarkable. I think Bob Shoop's done an incredible job with this group. They've had tremendous leadership. They're really talented, too. I mean, that's part of it. But absolutely, I mean, to be putting up the numbers that they're putting up defensively, this is, it's just a shame there is such an imbalance between the offense and the defense. I mean, if the offense were having any modicum of success, this would really be a good team. And it's too bad they're not. And you hope that going forward here, when Penn State is truly back, and again, I believe that's going to happen in the not-too-distant future here, that they can continue to play that way on the defensive side of the ball as well.
I ask you about Ohio State, because there was a big win last week. I mean, they had obviously the bad loss to Virginia Tech, and there's no other way to put it. They almost had the near miss here, but then that's been it. They've played. Discuss the level that Urban has them playing at right now.
Yeah, it is really impressive. And you talk about coaches politicking a little bit, and Urban has started politicking this week. And his talking point is, we're the most improved team in the country. And that's what he has to say, right? And I think the beauty of having a committee is that you don't have computers looking at this, that you do allow people to look at it and say, okay, they are one of the best four teams right now. Now, is that the question they're trying to answer, or is the question, who are the best four teams over the course of the year? I'm not saying you can throw away the Virginia Tech game. It happened. They lost to a bad team. A bad team in a bad division in a bad league. There's just no two ways about it. But I do think you can explain it away to a certain extent of, you had a quarterback who wasn't expecting to be playing, who was thrust into that position. You had an offensive line. I mean, not only did they lose four starters, but, I mean, you've got guys who are starting in the NFL now, a number of them, who they lost off that group. So it wasn't just, they lost four guys. I mean, these were first-team, all Big Ten guys who are NFL players. It's hard to recover from that right away. So, look, everyone has their story. Everyone has a way to explain away the losses. And the bottom line is, you shouldn't lose. But if you do, I think theirs is fairly explicable. And to kind of piggyback off your point, man, they are playing well right now. But they're going to have to send a message here down the stretch, Steve. I mean, they have a great comparison game here against Minnesota. TCU beat them 30-7. Let's see what Ohio State does against Minnesota. They don't just need to beat them. They need to beat them by a lot. And they need to do the same against Indiana and the same against Michigan and the same against whoever they play in the Big Ten championship game and try to put that Virginia Tech game out of people's minds.
Yeah, good point. One final question, then I'll let you go, and that deals with the fact that the curtain's going to rise on basketball season. I know everyone's locked in on football right now, but for you, as the transition happens, how excited are you for the Big Ten season?
I'm thrilled. It's worlds colliding, as George Costanza would say. We're definitely at that point where yeah, things kind of start melding together, and it's always a challenging time, but it's an exciting time. Again, I think the league's going to be really good, as it has been for quite some time here. That's really exciting. I think we have great competition at the top. You obviously have a truly elite team in Wisconsin. I think you have a number of other teams who are going to be clear-cut NCAA teams. But I think it's the depth of the league, which is really exciting. I think that's what's helped separate it here over the last few years. And, you know, to see the teams that are kind of traditionally at the bottom getting better. We saw Nebraska kind of put together the blueprint last year, and I'm fascinated to see, you know, whether there's another team out there that can do the same thing this year. But yeah, I'm thrilled, and I think it's going to be a really exciting and competitive year.
Just one quick note for you before I let you go, Dave. The number of people that have either emailed me or have come up to me and said that they bought and then read your book and loved it since your last appearance I've been impressed by that. So that's great.
Well, that is, I appreciate it. I'll cut you a check from the vast coffers from the book. But no, I'm genuinely thrilled to hear that. I think the coolest thing about this is when people come up to you and say, hey, I really liked it, or send you a tweet or an email and say that, because I did. Look, I put 4 years into this. I kind of poured my heart and soul into it. And so to hear that is really gratifying, and I didn't mean to in any way kind of make a joke of it. I really appreciate you sharing that with me, because it honestly means the world to me. It has been that has been the coolest part of it, more than anything. Just hearing people say they liked it and it made them think about college football. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, the reason he told the joke is because how humble he is. So, yeah. Dave, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Congrats on how the book's gone. And have a good time this weekend.
Thanks, Steve. You do the same. Really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for having me on.
Dave Revson, BTN. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and a cathartic moment for Kevin. A little bit of therapy on the air to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, the only team in the NFL to pull the exacta and lose to Tampa Bay and the Jets in the same year. You okay?
I'm not commenting on the fact that they pulled the exacta, because I'm hoping it doesn't become a trifecta come Monday.
Oh, it's not as if Tennessee's a bad team. They have two wins.
Exactly my point.
I mean, that's more than the Jets had.
Yeah, feeling much better. Thanks, buddy.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sunbury Motors Ford is going to make sure you don't feel like a turkey when you buy your next new vehicle. Like always, all prices are clearly marked. Nothing hidden, just plain low prices. Sunbury Motors has 30 2014 F-150s that must go this month to make room for the 2015s. Save up to $8,000 on Super Cabs and Super Crews. Sunbury Motors has 14 Ford Edges with $5,700 off or $3,200 off plus 0% for 60 60 months. Hurry in to claim your brand new Ford Edge. Sunbury Motors still has a great selection of 2014 Focuses with $4,700 off or 0% for 72 months. Makes getting into a new Focus more affordable than ever. If you're going to buy a new Ford, why wouldn't you buy it from the dealership who has been satisfying more customers for nearly a century? Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburymotors.com.
All right, 90 seconds away from the bottom of the hour, which means news with Sarah Bartlett here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Then next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We're going to ask him a series of Steeler questions, Kev. Any questions you have?
Yeah. Why do they play to the level of their competition each week? That's what I want to know.
Maybe they're just not that good.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, I've learned to accept that fact over the last couple of years that this is just a bad football team. How soon do baseball... Oh, no, forget about it. That's not going to be any better this year either. Maybe I'll start
Burnett
watching...
I think the Pirates signed Burnett today.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I'll just start watching highlights. Cross country season over?
Well, Tony's coming up next. Talk about the Steelers. Among other things. And Kevin's therapy later.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great Friday afternoon to each and every one of you. Cold today. Going to be cold all weekend, as a matter of fact. The heck with raking leaves. All outdoor activity, to me, suspended. With one exception. Go to Brewers Outlet, stock up for the weekend, and enjoy. Football, football, football. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best in beer. Corey and the Gang, they have a great selection over there. Soft drinks, snacks, roast their peanuts every day. And yes, the pickle bar, second to none. Love those barrel pickles, as you all know. So it's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Emphasis on super. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin has been incredibly depressed about all of his teams, where he continues to circle sports fogged in airport.
I'm just thinking about looking for new teams. Maybe I should be a free agent. I talked about this before. Maybe I should be a free agent. I just want something to root for at the end of the season. I like watching football games, but I'd also like to have something to root for. I mean, I wonder if other fans have this same issue. When your team's not doing well, is it tougher to watch games in the postseason if your team's not in it?
Not if you love the game. I enjoyed watching the World Series. I watched
But you're different.
I'm different?
Yes. Yes, you're different.
Well, I know my team's in the running for Pablo Sandoval. Yours is in the running for Jeff Francoeur.
I just like being saying Pablo Sandoval.
Yes. Well, the Steelers are also your team. Some weeks they bedazzle. Ravens, Colts, Panthers. Other weeks, they bedevil. Bucks, Jets. We're bringing Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, do you have a Twitter account?
The Pittsburgh Sports Report does have a Twitter account. I have been able to stay out of the fray by just making sure the only Twitter I'm involved in is the company's. But I can see how that could happen. I could see how that could happen. But, yeah, you know, too much information and too much, you know, volume ends up being the enemy sometimes. You stuff ends up slipping through the cracks, I guess.
Well, I'm sure many Twitter accounts have blown up over the past week over the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers have performed the exacta. They're the only team in football to lose to Tampa Bay and the Jets the same year. Tony, how mystified are you by watching this?
Well, you know, to be completely honest with you, the precedent has kind of been set over the past, certainly this season, and over the past couple of seasons. They've had losses to Oakland. Obviously, this year, you know, they came within 3 points of losing to Jacksonville as well. You know, how they can be so good, you know, against a very good Indianapolis team, and then 2 weeks later be so bad, you know, against the Jets team. Again, if it happens once, you know, you look at it and you say, oh, well, okay, they turned the ball over 4 times. That's a recipe to lose a game in the NFL. But it happens multiple times every season for the past 3. And, you know, that's a concern. There's no question about it. It's frustrating to try to figure it out, you know, when you're trying to analyze what's going on. It's frustrating, and certainly for fans. And to be honest with you, if you listen to the players talk about it, you know, even guys like Brett Kiesel and James Harrison and certainly Ben Roethlisberger, guys who have been, you know, around the block more than once, they can't figure it out. They can't put their finger on why it is that they are playing almost without fail to the level of their opponents, and even more so when they play the really bad football teams. And guess what, guys? You get a 2-7 team coming up here on Monday. So, you know, we'll see if they can hit the trifecta.
We know what the common denominators are when they beat Indianapolis and beat Baltimore. The offense is in high gear, the defense is in blitz mode, and so forth. What are the common denominators when they lose to Tampa Bay and the Jets? What are the common, what went wrong in each that happened in each?
Well, you know, really it's been all over the map, and I think that's what the most frustrating thing is. I mean, it was, you know, against Tampa Bay, it was penalties. It was just nonstop penalties. They had well over 100 yards in penalties. Well, they cut that down, certainly, against the Jets, and they've cut that down in recent weeks as well, you know, but the turnovers. And they did turn the ball over against Tampa Bay as well. You know, but the only thing that you have to really look at and you have to question, and even though Mike Tomlin denied this, you know, is the state of the team or the attitude of the team, you know, a mindset. That's exactly what Tomlin said was not the case against the Jets, and instead said, listen, it's pretty obvious. You have 4 turnovers. You know, you drop 2 interceptions. You jump off sides on an onside kick where you actually recover the kick, and the offsides had nothing to do with the recovery. It's those kind of focus issues that, you know, that have killed us. But even while he was kind of denying that, it does speak to focus, and he sort of even did in the same breath allude to the focus or lack thereof. Now, how you change that, these are a bunch of adults, Steve. I mean, I know we like to blame the coaching staff for that kind of stuff, and there probably is something to that. But at the same time, you know, these guys, there are a lot of guys on this team that have won championships. You know, maybe not a lot, but at least a handful. And they're all professional athletes. Motivating them to play a bad team should not really be too high up on the coaching staff list of things to do. But the focus clearly hasn't been there, and that's the only common denominator that I can really find.
Well, they're in a tough division, and they only have 6 games to go. When you've been around them, press conference, whatever, is because of what happened, is there more of a sense of urgency?
I think there's been a sense of urgency all season. I really do. But again, you know, it's why it's so hard to talk about this team, because I say I feel like there's been a sense of urgency all season, but then I say that one, you know, 30 seconds after I talk about how there was a lack of focus on Sunday. So it's just really hard to put your finger on, you know, have any idea what the mindset of this team is. You know, the one thing that you get with Roethlisberger and most of that offense is the ability to, you know, always stay in the game. And, you know, even, you know, up into the fourth quarter, you know, Roethlisberger gives you a chance to win. He can, you know, he can pull things out of his hat. He can pull rabbits out of the hat in a lot of occasions. So, you know, there sort of always seems to be that kind of sense of urgency, but that's something that you don't see until it's too late, until game day, until late in the game. So, you know, again, it's very hard to put your finger on this team. It's the kind of mix of experience and youth and that kind of stuff that you think you would like. You know, I mean, you have a little bit of all those things. Young guys who are hungry to make their, you know, to make their mark in the NFL, mixed with guys who have, like I mentioned before, been around the block and won championships, and that oftentimes is exactly what you look for. But yet here they are, barely keeping their head above water. And the only reason it's barely is because they've lost to two of the worst teams in the league. If they win those two games, we're talking about an 8-2 team with one game to go before the bye week, and you're probably sitting in a fantastic situation. But as things are, you know, they're in a, you know, you mentioned the division, and while the Steelers are certainly, Steve, the most extreme on both ends of the, you know, on both ends of the spectrum as far as, you know, winning and losing, everybody else has kind of followed suit, just not quite as extreme as far as the Bengals, the Browns, and the Ravens go. So that's why they're in the thick of the race. But at the same time, they're, you know, a breath away from being in last place.
While accurate in statement, John Harbaugh's statement to his team after the Ravens won, basically alluding to the Steelers, something where he looked at it and said, look, I don't want this taped, and the guy's just rolling along, and they played it back. Why do I get the gut feeling that didn't play well in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it certainly didn't play well. I think it comes off as, well, you know, we couldn't beat them, but hey, look, somebody else just did. It's right. Kind of how it came off, you know, and that definitely didn't play well. And I think that's why Harbaugh, even though he said he didn't care if anybody got offended, he certainly was bothered by the fact that the tape was aired. So,
yeah.
You know, who knows how many coaches talk like that or you know, do or don't when the doors are closed. But yeah, there's no question that you know, that didn't play well. It probably didn't play well with the Steelers themselves either. But then again, I think you have guys like the Kiesels and the Harrisons who have been around enough to say, hey, you know, that's on us. You know, he can say whatever he wants to say, yeah, because that's on us. We went out and lost to the Jets. So until the Steelers can fix their locker room, they'd probably do well to not worry so much about what's said in other locker rooms.
Pens are off to a fabulous start, aren't they, scoring-wise especially?
Yeah, they really are. I mean, you know, they won 7 in a row before they had a very rough outing at Madison Square Garden. Probably right. Just the ship righting itself, I imagine. That was a pretty good hammering they took. But in the 6 starts before that, Marc-Andre Fleury had 3 shutouts. And the offense had been scoring at pretty amazing clips. To say that Sidney Crosby was off to his best start ever, points-wise, tells you a little something about how much and how efficient the offense has been.
Clayton Kershaw won the MVP last night, but the Pirates were well-represented in the top 10. I mean, how excited should Pirate fans be? Because that really is the foundation of the team right there.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, you know, in addition to McCutcheon, and I don't, doesn't look like they're going to be able to bring Russell Martin back, although time will tell. You know, starting Marte is a guy who finished the season playing about as well as any outfielder in the National League, at least over the last 2 months. So he's a guy that is starting to produce at a pretty darn high clip. And, yeah, you know, they've certainly got their offseason issues to fix, but you have to like the future. Everybody has offseason issues. Just about everybody has offseason issues. The last 2 offseasons, Neil Huntington has handled things pretty well. We'll see if he can do that again. You know, again, I think a huge part of it would be bringing Russell Martin back. I simply
yes.
don't think they're going to, you know, financially be able to do it. I just don't think that even if they do stretch beyond their comfort level, I think someone may blow them out of the water.
Well, I agree with you, Tony, there's some intangibles that he brings to the table that creates winning. And the intangibles are worth sometimes to me as much as the stats are.
There's no question about it. You know, he hit 65 points higher last year than he did the season before that, but I don't know that he was necessarily worth that much more than he, you know, last season as opposed to the first season in Pittsburgh. And what I'm saying is exactly what you just said. The intangibles are probably better than any stats he's going to bring. His stats were tremendous last season. He had just as big an impact the season before when he hit below 230 as he did last year when he hit 290. The pitching staff will tell you that. Everybody else on the team will tell you that. He's a guy that they follow. You can just see it on the field during games. You can see it in the locker room. You can see it by the way they handle themselves after games. He's a guy that they follow, and there probably aren't too many of those guys in the major leagues, certainly in the National League, and, you know, even more powerful on that Pirate team.
He's Veritek. That's what he is. He's mm-hmm. Jason Varitek. That's what he is. I mean, Varitek, yeah, is he the best
point.
Player on the team? No, I'll tell you right now, he's the guy you want to go out and get it done with. I mean, Tony, look, it's not our money. Pay him.
No question. Pay him. I agree.
You and I are over here.
It's going to be interesting to see what they throw at him. It really is. He says, his agent says, that the Pirates are still in the mix, one of four teams left in the mix. That may just be posturing, maybe him being polite. Very interested to see what happens with that money. You know, this would be a chance to make a huge statement. At the same time, you know, they want to go 5-6 years. I can't see them doing that. I just can't see them going beyond four. But it'll definitely be fun to watch.
You and I have Monopoly money. We can do what we want. Tony, it's always a pleasure. You have a great weekend, okay?
You do the same. Thank you.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin's take on the interview and complete analysis in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up for the weekend and do it now. Imports, domestics, microbrews, snacks, soft drinks, roasting their peanuts fresh every day. And, of course, the pickle bar, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. CBSSports.com, in conjunction with Facebook, when county by county has the favorite teams, and every team but one made the cut. There isn't one county in America, literally, that labels the Jets as their favorite team. How about that?
Not even. I'm assuming New York would be all Giants.
The Giants. It's all Giants. Oh yeah, come on. No, the Jets got nothing out of this.
Yeah, this
nothing.
Is similar to the map that we talked about via Twitter, but this is on Facebook. This is Facebook style.
Yeah, I mean the Jets have nothing. I mean even the Raiders have a couple of pockets.
I'm surprised how far the Giants get into upstate New York.
No,
I would think
I don't
that
know.
Would be Patriots country up there, like Watertown and that.
No, I'm not surprised. You know, the Giants were the NFL team until 1970, and the Patriots were not very good in the early 70s. So those who are older are going to be Giants fans. They're not going to be Patriots fans. Just not going to be.
Nebraska has a lot of Packers fans.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
It's funny, though, because they're surrounded by Vikings and Broncos fans.
Mm-hmm.
And is it just me or are the Bears fans in Illinois shrinking as we speak? It just looks like that.
Well, you have to remember part of that, though, is the Colts have been extremely successful. And when a team comes into an area and has some success, they suddenly, like, the fans will, hey, look, we have our own team now. That does make a difference. That does make a difference.
Here's, I think, two interesting things, and I found this on the Twitter map that we had on our on SteveJonesShow.com a couple of weeks ago as well. Cowboys fans do well in Nevada. In the Vegas area.
More than half the state.
Yeah. And Vegas, Reno. And but the Raiders fans, with the exception of one corner of Northern California, are basically a Los Angeles-based team.
Right. But I have to remember, that's where they were.
No, I get it, man. Maybe they should go back, is what I'm saying.
Well, there's a lot of talk to both the Rams and the Raiders may both go back, that Los Angeles may end up with two teams. The Rams are in St. Louis are not a slam dunk right now.
I'm going to throw
a
link. I'm going to throw a link to this on our Twitter feed, Steve Jones PSU,
sure.
So you can take a look at it. I know you enjoy that.
Absolutely, that'll be fun.
Basketball tonight, Nittany Lions and Morgan State. Bryce Jordan said, Lady Lions won earlier today, beat Towson in their season opener. They'll play Sunday. Nittany Lions tonight, 7. We're on beginning at 6:30 this evening. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Football tomorrow, noon the kickoff. Deets and Watson tailgate show gets rolling at 10:30 tomorrow. Sunday, Nittany Lion basketball again, this time 4 at the Jordan Center. At 5, we'll be on the air beginning at 4:30.
Welcome to All Steve Jones Weekend on WKOK.
You, of course, are disgusted by this.
I wouldn't say disgusted.
You're not happy.
No. I just find it funny. That's a lot of Steve. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I'm ready for all of it. We're all set to go.
I dare to find anyone catching a mistake that you make on either game.
Oh, I'm sure they can find a whole bunch. But I will say this, it's a fun weekend for me. I'll enjoy it very much. And tomorrow with Temple will be interesting. Again, it should be a defensive struggle. The strength of Temple's team is their defense. The strength of Penn State's team is their defense. The numbers are historical. The rushing numbers, lowest rushing number for Penn State since 1986 against Penn State. Points, lowest since 2009. Yards per play, lowest since 1990. They're only giving up 4.1 yards per play. Amazing, isn't it? Well, the strength of both teams happens so, in what on paper should be a low-scoring game, we'll see how it plays out. We had a fun week. Fun day today, too. Our thanks to Dave Refson, Harry Donahue, Patrick Chambers, and also Tony DeFazio for being on the show today.
I'll wave by your hometown when I go by tomorrow morning, Steve.
Good. And I'll be back with everybody in 90 minutes from the Bryce Jordan Center with Dick Girardi as the curtain rises on the 2014-15 basketball season. And tomorrow we'll talk to you from Beaver Stadium at 10:30 here on News Radio 1070.